We're starting a new season, finishing off the first chapter of Enaya in Rav Kook's commentary on the Agarat on Masechet Shabbat. We're in Piska Pei Dalet, that's 84, a very, very interesting Piska. The Gemara in Daf Yud Tet reads as follows. Amar Abaye, Hayman diyayiv mana lekitzra. When a person brings his laundry to a professional launderer, b'mishchan neitiv lei uv'mishchan lishko minei, he should measure it when he brings the clothing, and also measure it when you get it back. De'itfe afsede de'matre, that if it's bigger, if you get it back bigger than you gave it, that means that they stretched it out, right? Everybody knows that the gumi, the elastic, when it's stretched out, it's not worth too much. Ve'ibatzir afsede de'kavtzi, and if they shrunk it, also, everybody knows the problem of shrunken clothes. And in other words, measure your clothing when you give it in, and when you get, make sure that you get it back the same way. Hanagot hayesharot bedarkei hakalkala habeitiyot ya'oru et dugmatan yafe be'orchot hachayim haikariyim. Keshem shanikayon vakvisa yafa umo'ilahi labeged. If you remember, before the summer, we learned in 82 and 83, Pei Bet and Pei Gimel, where Rav Kook says that just like, well, let's start out with the Ikaron. The Ikaron is something which is mentioned in the Zohar very often, and we've seen it many times before, that the physical world is a hint to understand the metaphysical world. The real world is spiritual, it's ideals, and the physical world, we spoke about this once when we learned Orot HaTshuva, where Rav Kook talks about the natural law of evolution, that things we learn from trial and error is to teach us that it's natural to improve. Right? The idea of Yirida Letzorech Aliyah, it's not just a metaphysical idea. It's something that anybody who plays ball, and he knows the difference between to throw like a girl without a wind up, as opposed to when you wind, oh no, did I move it?
Right.
When you wind up, or you want to jump high, you crouch down in order to jump higher. And all of the physical world is really hints to help us understand metaphysical ideas. The same thing with laundry. When we launder something, and you take the soap, and you rub the beged, you rub the cloth to try and take out the ketem, take out the stain. That is a metaphysical, a mashal of how we also should cleanse ourselves, our neshamot. And we know the Navi, we say this in the davening on Yom Kippur, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitaher us, he cleans us on Yom Kippur like cleaning a clothing. We know, remember the mashal of Chazal, that a tzaddik is like a white cloth with a stain on it. Right? The idea of a stain, a ketem, is found in the Navi and in Chazal. So, the mashal, let's examine the mashal of laundering. That's what Chazal are doing here. And always remember throughout the paragraph that the nimshal is self-improvement. How to launder yourself. Umnam, hazir, and that's what we learned about in the last Pisco, just to remember, where Rav Kook explains how why the Gemara makes a difference between laundering white clothing and laundering colored clothing. Something which is more natural, something which is less natural, man-made, etc. Umnam, hazirut tzricha liyot ima sheishtadlut al dvar hakvisa vanikayon lo yivleu v'yashchitu et etzem habeged umahuto. When we launder our clothing, you got to be careful not to rub it too hard. Otherwise, you rub out the cloth itself. You make a hole in the beged, and it's counterproductive. The same thing when we try and improve ourselves. Ken sarich laskil kol echad al pi midato. Everyone, according to his midah, that's going to be a key word tonight. The idea of midot is usually translated as ethical traits or moral traits, but it which is true, but it literally comes from the word lindod. Right? When you go into a shoe store, they ask you, what's your midah? What's your shoe size? A midah is a certain size that on one person, your 43 might fit your foot, and 44 is too big, and 42 is too small. On the next guy, the midah would fit him. And every person has different midot. Right? Today we're going to talk about subjective midot.
And the destruction, and the destruction of the washing it too hard would be kind of thing that happens to some kids that go off the derech because they've been exposed to extreme mussar or something like that.
Yeah. That's an example. That's not where Rav Kook is going to go tonight. But let's see. Ken tzarich la'askil kol echad al pi midato chok na'ala mi'chokhmat anefesh. There is a lot of wisdom in the soul that you are given. This is something very important for social workers or any parent. Right? The idea of chanoch le'na'ar al pi darko, that even if you have identical twins, you got to educate them mamash subjectively. Because the nefesh which you were given is godly. It's not proper to try and change yourself. And this is important now that we're in the month of Elul, when we talk about improving ourselves. Rav Kook says, improve yourself, don't lose yourself. Don't rub yourself so much, don't cleanse yourself so much that you lose yourself, that you start becoming artificial. Right, and he says, first of all, bezeh lo yitzlach, you're not going to succeed. Right, and this is something which we've seen before. Rav Kook is a very strong believer in nature. The nature that a person is given, or the nature of the world, is godly. You don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of changing it. And that's why if a person has certain midot, you can move them a little left, move it a little right, strengthen a certain midah that needs strengthening, weaken a little midah, or polish a midah which needs a little polishing, but don't lose yourself. And point number one is because you're not going to succeed. It's not going to feel natural. A person has to be himself. There's nothing more real than your nefesh. And you can't pretend here. And you can't become somebody that you're not. Bezeh lo yitzlach, you're not going to succeed. Right? And this is something that we've spoken about, if you remember, the idea that we say in tefillah, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, as opposed to Elokei Yaakov. Even though there's one and only God, nevertheless, the God of Avraham is a little different, because Avraham's nitzotz Eloki, Avraham's chelek eloka mimal, his spark of God, is a little different than the spark of God of Yitzchak.
They are anymore.
Okay. Again, so point number one is, why should you not lose yourself? A, you're not going to succeed, because your nature is godly. Don't fight against your nature. Be yourself. Ki apulot hayesharot v'amasim atovim yitzu rak biyot hanefesh bria chaya ve'era. You are only going to be yourself, and you're only going to be happy, and you're only going to be living to the full when you're letting all of your powers express themselves. You shouldn't be stinting yourself, right? Cutting yourself down. And everybody knows, if you learned in yeshiva, and you know guys who learn mussar, there's a certain stage where you think that mussar means to try and impersonate your Rebbe, or try to be somebody who you're not. And that's a very, very dangerous thing. Why? Because Rav Kook says it's at the expense of life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Chafetz B'Chaim. He wants you to live with all of your Teva Bari. Here we have a second aspect of why you shouldn't fight against your nature, and that is,
Anachtu ben Sashurachshav,
and I lo yechol la'atzor. not to fight against God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you in a certain way. That's the way He wants you. In other words, even if you could change your nature, which you can't, it wouldn't be a good idea. Because there's a reason why God made one person with, we'll see, Rav Kook gives, in the next sentence, he gives a very good example. But here, the point is, when you're yourself, you have a ruach gabit. How do you say, a tailwind, right? Which is pushing you in the direction, right? Because that's where you're supposed to go. Vine yesh adam, it's interesting, there's a piskan orot hakodesh, where Rav Kook writes that the goal of the Torah is to refine a person from his wildness, while not losing the energy. We have a natural energy where there's a fine line between praut, wildness, that we want to refine. But don't lose that life, that spirit, the energy, the vigor, because that...
Passion.
That's a very common mistake.
There's a continuum of the in terms of the optimal use of spiritual energy, to one end too wild and the other went too you know, beaten down, right. And then you lose it.
Exactly. To get the most out of yourself. That's the idea of the Torah. But what Rav Kook is going to talk about today is that every person has a different subjective godly nature. Okay? And so the Torah is going to be looking differently at each and every person. And this, by the way, is a very, very strong... Rav Kook here isn't relating to the Haredi community, because in his day that was normative Judaism. But he says in several places that one of the problems is when you try and fit people into a mold, and everyone has to wear the same white shirt, and the same black kippah, and the same suit, and all the women are wearing the same, and everything, and that is not godly, and it's not natural. And you're losing part of your life, part of your
individuality,
your life force. Vine yesh adam, here's the example. And it's a very important example, which is, by the way, has come up recently in the academic and yeshiva world. There's a big discussion about Rav Kook and Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Since they put out the Shmona Kvatzim, the original notebooks of Rav Kook from the original, the unedited version, a lot of people are discussing, comparing it with the edited version that we've been learning with for 80 years, seeing the small differences. And obviously, their claim is always going, or the question is always going to be, how much of the editor, how much did he edit the original Rav Kook? Hmm. And one of the topics that the academic world likes to talk about is the quote-unquote militancy of Gush Emunim and the settlers, the students of Rav Tzvi Yehuda, who after the Six-Day War, the idea of Gevura and settling the land and Eretz Yisrael HaShlema became very big. And there are some, for example, there's a professor, Dov Schwartz, who writes about it. There's a Professor Sternhal who wrote about it. It's interesting that Rav Kook is so great and so admired by everyone, religious and non-religious, that it's not worth it to disagree with Rav Kook. Everybody wants Rav Kook in their camp. So the leftists like to portray him as a lover of peace and as a lover of universalism, humanism, which is definitely in his writings. And they claim that this idea of what they call militancy...
The only problem is that Mapai was doing that back then.
And they claim that it was a modern change of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. And that's why it's definitely important to notice the example that Rav Kook himself, the father, is giving here. Vine yesh adam shetchunotav ponot liyot notot letokef hamidot. There are some people who naturally have a takifut,
aggressive.
What would be a better translation? Yeah, a strong nature. Ligvura.
Forceful.
Va'adirut.
Yeah.
Forceful. Al yomar shetchunato tzricha kula litchalef. it's true that when you look at the tzaddikim and the Sifrei Musar, we want to be adin. We want people to be gentle. But if your nature is not to be gentle, to have a lot of drive, to be forceful, do not change yourself. Again, A, it's not going to work. B, God wants you the way you are. That's why He created you. Loken, don't make that mistake. It's a common mistake, right? Everybody knows, for example, the Rambam in Hilchot Deot, where he says, at the beginning of Hilchot Deot, where the straight path is the middle way. So if you're leaning too much to this midah, to pazranut, right? You're spending too much money. Go to the opposite direction, and that way you'll end up in the middle. Famous Rambam.
In this generation, boys in school have a tremendous problem because they're trying to make them behave like girls.
Yeah.
Sit nicely
One of the reasons why we sent our boys to the Talmud Torah was where they dafka encourage the boys to yell and to sing and to shout and to be active, and which is natural, right? Lo ken, kishem sheyesh shimush l'tova b'midot hanochot v'ni'imot. Just like there is a time and a place and importance to be pleasant, to be
calm.
Ken yesh shimush l'tova. There is a time and a good use be'abirut nikama v'sina uchiyot bazeh. It's very interesting. Rav Kook has a beautiful piskan in Orot, which I think we learned 3 years ago. No, in Orot HaTchiyah, I believe it is, where he talks about, Hari, what is the way of Kabbalah? Kabbalah is this izun, it's the harmony. And I think there's interesting, there's a somebody who's in America is writing a professor from Yale who's writing a biography of Rav Kook in English. And he asked me to review it for him. And one of the, it's very interesting, he's a leftist. And he portrays Rav Kook as somebody who's torn, who's full of contradictions. Because sometimes he writes about the importance of abirut, nekama, physical strength, revenge, hate, in a positive way. On the other hand, he writes about universalism and humanism and peace a lot. And so this professor writes, well, he says, well, Rav Kook is just torn and he's schizophrenic or... But if you learn Rav Kook, and I wrote him, that was one of my main ha'arot, the key word I didn't find in any part of his book, harmony. To harmonize the two. Because Kabbalah is based on the idea of thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis, right? You have Keter, Chochmah, and Bina, where the Keter combines the Chochmah and the Bina. And then you have Chesed and Gvura, which are combined by Tiferet. Netzach and Hod.
How did he get to you?
It's part of Beit HaRav Kook. So what's the idea? In Kabbalah, they explain that's how the body is formed. You have right and you have left. And the torso combines it. Okay, and the same thing with the bottom part of the body. And he says the same thing with the Christians. They took chesed to an extreme. Turn the other cheek. Like give the guy the, what do they say? The shirt off your back, which is unrealistic. And that's why they didn't carry it out. On the other hand, Islam takes gvura, the idea of manliness, don't touch my mustache. That's part of the problem that we have in the Middle East right now. The whole world is facing the problem that the Muslims go crazy over the idea of Gvura. Where Judaism is the harmony between Chesed and Gvura. What's called Tiferet, which is the Midah of Yaakov. And that's why we're called Yisrael. The same thing Rav Kook here is saying in very clear terms and many places of his writings, as opposed to the claim of those professors who claim that Rav Kook was a lover of peace and a humanist, which is true, but if he were alive today, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook was just continuing the way of his father. If you look at, and I don't want to spend the whole time on this, I'm finishing off an article on several different examples. For example, the idea of hitamrut. Everybody knows, we learned 2 or 3 years ago, where Rav Kook in Orot writes about the importance of exercise. And in Sefer Otzrot HaRe'iyah, I believe it's Rav Mashash, asked him, why do you think exercise is so important? And Rav Kook explains, because we are coming back to the land of Israel, we have to conquer the land, we have to defend ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what natural nations do. And then there is the, we learned here once, I found in Rav Kook's archives, his drasha on the flag, when the British Legion, the Jewish Brigade of World War I, fought as a Jewish army for the first time since the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, Rav Kook was ecstatic. And he writes in a Orot Milchama about the greatness that we are now returning to to become natural Jews, just like our forefathers served in the army, and that is the ideal Jew. Now, it's true in Orot HaMilchama, Rav Kook writes about how terrible World War I is, and how much bloodshed there is, and how anti it is. And he says the world is coming apart, and the world has to learn a lesson from this. But that doesn't mean he's against self-defense. And that doesn't mean that, for example, in his hesped, in his eulogy for the Jews who were massacred in Tafresh Pei in 1920, that's when the Arabs started going crazy, Rav Kook is very, very strong in his call for nekama.
The Arabs started going crazy all the time, weren't they?
And I found in a interview with, by the way, most of this stuff isn't known, because like I said, there's stuff that you find in the archives which isn't so printed, because I don't have time to go into why not, but after the riots of 1929, where there were 70 Jews killed in Hebron in one day, Pashut massacre and butchered and cut into pieces, Rav Kook's son-in-law was there when the people of the Irgun, of the Eitzel, asked Rav Kook to what extent we should take revenge. And he said, kid, I won't use his exact words because I don't want to have people taking it out of context, but he says, blood, kill them. And not just the people who carried it out, because you don't know who carried it out, but if the Arabs want to kill us, we have to kill them. And he gave, Rav Kook was very, very, admired very much Jabotinsky. And there are a couple of letters in Otzrot HaRe'iyah, pages 1052, 1053, 1054, where Rav Kook praises Jabotinsky, who was sat in jail for defending the Jewish people. Giborim kidoshim atem lanu, right? You are holy and you are our heroes. And he wanted to participate in the celebration when Jabotinsky got out of jail. He calls him Giborei Hachayil, Ashrechem Meginei Kvodenu. Happy are you that you defend the honor of the Jewish people. Shenitfastim al divrei Torah. Right? Just like Rabbi Akiva, he's paraphrasing the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva was arrested for teaching Torah. He said, you were arrested also for Torah. Al asher asitem et chuvatchem hakdosha l'algen al kvod achayotenu hatorot. Apparently there was some kind of incident of rape. I don't know exactly the details, but the honor of some Jewish girls was defiled. And Jabotinsky and members of the Eitzel took revenge. And Rav Kook was very much in favor. By the way, when Arlozorov was killed, and they wanted to frame Stavsky, who was from the Irgun, from the Eitzel, why did Rav Kook get so involved? A lot of his students were active members of the revisionists. As a matter of fact, people don't know that before Menachem Begin, the head of the Irgun was named, good trivia question. David Raziel.
David Raziel
was a student in Merkaz Arav. And as a matter of fact,
he was killed, right?
He was killed in Turkey in a pi'ula. I once met his sister, who was a member of Knesset afterwards for the Likud. I met her in an elevator. And
what was her name?
Raziel Naor. Esther, I think. Esther Raziel Naor. She kept the name Raziel because that was her claim to fame. And she mentioned, we spoke about her brother. So I asked her if she had pictures of her brother, because when he went underground, he destroyed all the pictures so that, you know, they wouldn't be able to identify him. And she said, no, he destroyed all the pictures. So I asked him, what about, there's a famous picture at Batya Miriam, Rav Kook's daughter, who married Rav Ra'anan, where David Raziel is sitting in the front row with a white suit and white shoes. And she said that's one of the only, maybe the, I don't remember, she said the only picture, one of the only pictures that we have of him. Benjamin Netanyahu's grandfather was Rav Natan Milikovsky, who was very active in the revisionist movement. He was the one who got Rav Kook involved in Tiferes Stavsky and the whole issue. These got Rav Kook in trouble with those chalutzim, who he was on great terms with, but they started seeing him as a right-winger. Another major turn was the Vadat HaKotel, when Yitzchak Ben Tzvi and a lot of the leaders of the Zionist movement told Rav Kook, don't lay claim to the Kotel. Why do you have to make waves? Right? We're not going to build the Beit HaMikdash anyway. Let the Arabs say it's theirs, and they give us permission. Rav Kook said, absolutely not. And he stood very, very strong. Another ma'aseh, where Rav Kook carries out the midah, which he sees as a positive midah. There was once two people in Shul who had a yahrzeit. And one was the famous Rav Zelig Reuven Benges, who was from the Eidah Haredit. He had learned with Rav Kook in Volozhin, and he respected Rav Kook very, very much, although he was a very strong anti-Zionist. And somebody came and took the Amud away from him, what's called Ras El Amud. He ran and he grabbed the Amud, and basically he was mizalzil. He didn't treat Rav Benges with proper kavod.
He was contemptuous. Yeah.
Rav Kook went over to him in front of the whole shul and slapped him in the face.
Oof.
And everyone was in shock. But that's what Rav Kook is saying here. There is a time for revenge, for abirut. Abirut literally means like knighthood, right?
Chivalry.
Lishtamesh behem bimakom hadarush, to use it in the right place. Again, he's not a militant crazy, neither was Rav Tzvi Yehuda. But the whole idea is you have to understand that the Yamin and Smol, Chesed and Gevura, they harmonize.
What's harmony in Hebrew?
Harmonia.
Harmonia.
This reminds me of Rav Kahana in Yamit when he encouraged the kids in the bunker to come out, and yeah. One of them was Tzachia Negbi, one of those wild kids.
It's interesting. There's some interesting growth in Chilek Gimel, in the third part of the letters of Rav Kook, which the leftists bring to prove that Rav Kook was a humanist and universalist, where he writes against drafting the Russian Jews into the British army. There were a lot of Jews who ran away from Russia and came into England, and England wanted to give them back to Russia. Rav Kook writes, it's interesting, he writes that, maybe I'll just read a line or two inside. He says, you can't, it's in Igrot Reya, Igeret, Tavshin Pehe, that's 785. He said, you can't expect a foreigner to give that ultimate in sacrifice that we all want to give for our country. But England is not the country of the Russians. So on the one hand, you could say, hey, look how Rav Kook doesn't want people to serve in the army and he helps people avoid the draft. On the other hand, he's saying...
To the Russian army, but not to give them back to Russia.
But he's saying that English people should be serving and should be giving their lives in patriotism. Be'esh patriotiot kidosha. The holy fire of patriotism, laganat haaretz shenidbekuba, to the holy fire of patriotism, to defend your country, that's something which is very commendable. But he says, don't draft the rabbis. those who were learning Torah should not be drafted. And again, this was brought by the Haredim vis-a-vis Tzahal to, again, Rav Kook wasn't around when Tzahal was around. Nevertheless, we see his admiration for the Jewish brigade.
But does, you know, that means he supported, let's say, British Jews joining the British army?
That's not clear. Because he wanted, there were probably enough non-Jews to serve in the army.
Right, so the Jews should be in the Jewish army, the Israeli army.
Exactly, exactly.
Where they were.
But the idea, the terms that he uses here of the warmth and the holiness of patriotism and self-defense and fighting for your land in very positive terms, that's not only is it logical, but it doesn't contradict the peace lovingness of Rav Kook.
And the you know, as opposed to today's you know, the Obama, the, you know, the total bittul of self love for one's own nation.
Okay, we gotta get on. Okay, Ela hamidot haragzaniot shemishamshot bekas vekapdanut hehadera savlanut uchiyotzebo. If a person is naturally has that, what do we call it before? The tokfanut,
the strong personality.
Aggressiveness, forcefulness. Right? Which also is expressed in ka'as. Again, ka'as, temper, is something which we usually associate as something negative. What is Rav Kook saying here? He's saying, who invented it? God invented it. And if he gave it to you, that means that there's a time and a place. Don't lose yourself. Don't rub yourself so much in self-improvement that you lose it. But make sure that you use it in the right way. Hema mitzuyarot bikotzer apayim midot ktsarot. Here Rav Kook is tying it in with the Gemara. In slang today, you said that somebody who has a hot temper, they say he has a ptil katsar. He has a short fuse, right? Rav Kook is saying this idea of, it's the opposite of arichut apayim. Right, arichut apayim is patience. Here we're talking about what are these clothes that are short. If your clothing is short, impatience. Right.
The Bnei Yisrael wouldn't listen to Moshe because of kotzer ruach.
Yafeh. The Jews in Egypt were called kotzer ruach. If your clothing is small, don't let it be stretched out. Don't lose the clothing. וכך היא תכונת הנפש של אלה שמידותיהם כאלה, ראוי להם רק לנקות את המומים שבמידותיהם. Just remove the stains from your midot. Because obviously, to have a temper or to be forceful, there are problems with those midot. That everybody knows. That you don't need Rav Kook for. Rav Kook is showing the other side of the coin. Why did God invent these? And why did he give you or me or somebody who has those midot? את השימוש העלול לקלקל כשולוש שלא במקום הראוי. Don't misuse them.
ולבושי הנפש, המחשבה, דיבור, מעשה.
אבל מה מאוד מאושרים הם ויאשרו את זולתם ברימם את כוחותיהם אלה שלא לנסוע ולסלוח במקום שהשעה צריכה לכך. Why did God create these midot? So that we should have some people within the Jewish people who don't forgive when it's not the time for it to forgive. La'iz panim ba'anshei resha. You need sometimes chutzpah to fight the evil in the world. Ha'chafetzim la'akor l'sharesh kodshei Hashem. Want to take advantage of the holy people. Ha'chafetzim l'shloach yad ba'olata v'la'avot kol yashar. Oavei Hashem sinura. Right? If you love Hashem, you want to fight against the evil. These are the mitzvot of Rodef, right? You see somebody who's being chased, you have to intervene, right? If you're not part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. The mitzvah of lo tamod al dam reyecha, not to stand by when a Jew is in danger. All of these, we need Jews who have a militant side. We saw, unfortunately, in the Holocaust what happened when we didn't fight back. Al ken al na yitkatzef al nafsho ish ba'al tchunot k'tzarot u'margizot. Somebody who has that fighting spirit, don't fight with yourself. It's an interesting way of putting it. Don't fight with yourself. Ad l'midah zu shebirtzoto l'nakot achala'a shenidbeka b'nafsho al yedei ha'shimush b'makom she'eino ra'ui. Yelech l'katzer rachok, right? Don't misuse it, because you might take it to the opposite extreme, ad kedei sheyeshanet chunat nafsho, that you'll artificially change yourself, v'lo yuchal od lishtamesh klal b'midotav v'tiviot. And then they won't be at your disposal when you really want them. As the saying goes, if you don't use it, you lose it. And you have to activate these midot. Lo chena davar, ki b'shinui nafsho mitchunata tivit, kvar ishbita mitarat bryuta, biyota ktsara b'tiva nocha litragesh, tzarich rak laniga shetia itragshuta, al piyatzat ha-Torah v'asichel. So how do you know how to use it here, Rav Kook, is starting the answer? Through the Torah and the Seichel. The Torah gives you guidelines. What is milchemet mitzvah? When is it a obligation to go to war? When is it reshut? When is it prohibited? That's why we have rabbis. That's why we have hilchot milchama in the Rambam. Ve'haseichel in logic. Aval lo shetechdal miyecholet pu'ulata. Lahai katzra. When you give your laundry to the laundromat, Haregesh ha-pnimi ha-toveya la-adam la-tse yedei chovatu ha-musarit u-le-teher drachav lifnei yotzro, a person who wants to cleanse his midot, lo yiten biyado et kochotav belo ashkacha sichlit torit. Don't do it without proper Torah supervision. Just like you need supervision for kashrut, you also need, there are two types of supervision. Rav Kook stresses twice here. You notice, seichel and Torah. But if you remember Mesilat Yesharim in the Hakdama, in the introduction, he gives the example of the maze, right? That if you want to find your way through a maze, the best way to do it is to ask somebody who's been through it and is standing at the top, and he can tell you where to make a right, where to make a left. Don't go there, go there. And those are the Reb Aryeh Levins, those are the David HaMelechs, those are the Rabbanim who have the proper balance, the proper harmony between the midot. Again, use your own seichel, and also hadracha, the supervision of the Torah. Bimishcha, again, the Gemara says, when you give in your clothing, measure it. Midat ha-Torah noten lechol davar chok u'mishpat, etc., etc. We're running out of time. Let's skip down to the next paragraph. So again, everybody caught the symbolism, right? When you give in, measure it. Like the word midah is to measure it. To make sure that that's what you get when you get the clothing back from the laundromat. Okay? So that you don't lose yourself. The ibatzir, if your clothing comes back short, im hu noten lechemla ulerachamim ulechesed uletova, if you have arichut apayim, if you have patience, don't let the commandments of the Torah, with that you do have to go to war and you do have to be takif, and don't let that change you either. In other words, everybody has to follow through with their nature. Aiza, how do you know? The answer is the Shulchan Aruch. If the Shulchan Aruch, we don't have a Shulchan Aruch on Ilchot, but actually there is an Ilchot Shabbat. It talks about when Am Yisrael is at war, everybody has to go to war. You can be the most refined, you can be the most gentle person, but you have no choice. Hachalash yomar givorani.
Doesn't mean you should become a...
Don't be violent.
Right.
And don't lose yourself.
Also doesn't mean you should be timid in war. It just means that you shouldn't see war as such an overriding objective that you have to turn yourself into a violent person.
Correct. Be true to your natural self.
They'll find the right place for... each person should have the right place. You take somebody who's been learning in yeshiva learning Torah for all his life. Mm-hmm. So you don't put him out in the middle of a battle. You put him someplace where he'd be more useful.
He could fill sandbags.
Or something.
Ve'i batzir afsadei dekavtzei. I'm skipping down a little. Ve'kama kashehi k'mitat ha-nefesh. How serious is it when you shrink? a person who has that breadth, who has that arichut apayim, the patience, the gentleness, right? Don't shrink him. And it goes, you won't be happy unless you're true to yourself. Asher hu mevakesh ki im beyoto poel al pi tchunato ativit. V'amida, and this is something that we learned in Orot HaTshuva, again, Chodesh Elul. What is Chodesh Elul about? To be free to be yourself. The evolution to improve. Let yourself be yourself. Okay, that's something that we've seen many times in Rav Kook. Just want to jump down. We'll finish up. V'amida ha-metaheret tzricha, we're at the bottom of the right-hand column. V'amida ha-metaheret tzricha lif'ol rak al achla'a v'chisaron. When you work on your midot, it should be just to polish the edges, to fill that which is lacking. L'taharo u'l'takno. Aval etzim tchunat ha-nefesh tzricha shetishaer shlema u'bria. And this is an important point. I would say this is the fourth point that Rav Kook is stressing. We said before, why is it so important? A, don't fight yourself because you're not going to succeed. Number two, you want that godly drive that's to help you in life. That's what you're going to succeed at. Point number three we mentioned, that's going to bring you happiness. We like homeostasis to be ourselves.
Fulfillment.
And four is shleimut. Your shleimut. Every person has an individual shleimut, which for you, that's shleimut. Everybody has a certain role. Bechol kela, with all of the utensils that God gave you. Nechona lavodata kodesh al pi midata, shezoi nachlata al pi yotzer ruach ha'adam bekerbo. Again, who gave you that spirit? God. Shesam lekol echad chilko. Notice, where's Rav Kook? What's he paraphrasing here? Aleinu l'shabeach. He says, just like the Jewish nation, shelo sam chelkenu kahem, he's saying to the same extent, the individual Jew should not be copying another Jew. Everybody has his own individual shlemut. Laskil uleitiv al piotama kochot shechananu bahem, to use the kelim that God granted you. And here, as usual, for those who are new to Rav Kook, Rav Kook very often finishes off an idea with a super unique, new explanation of a pasuk that everyone knows before, but after spending a half hour on an idea, you'll now understand the pasuk in a new light. Ki ruach milfanai ya'atuf, uneshamut ani asiti. It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, chapter 57, where, how is Rav Kook explaining it? Because the spirit from before me, Ya'atof, will be covered with clothing. Again, that's what the Gemara is talking about. The clothing represents your neshama, your soul. Now, how does one cover, what should you do with your clothing? Not to overcover yourself, and not to undercover yourself. Uneshamot ani asiti. What's the first half of the pasuk have to do with the second half of the pasuk? That's exactly what Rav Kook has been explaining. Neshamot, what is neshamot in Lashon Rabim? There are so many different types of souls. Everyone has a unique soul. God says, I made each and every one of them. And don't overdress yourselves. Don't lose yourself. Umize yishlach yad leshanot sidrei ha-yitzira. Who has the chutzpah to change creation? Here he's saying very strongly. It's chutzpah to fight against God. Ki chol asher asa Elokim alav ein lo sifu menu ein ligroa. It's an isur d'oraita. You shouldn't add mitzvot, and you shouldn't take away mitzvot. The same thing, the same God who gave you the Torah is the same God who gave you your neshama. Don't lose it. Don't overdo it. Don't underdo it. Kulam nechochim lemevin v'yesharim lemotzei dat. Again, Rav Kook is giving a beautiful explanation of this pasuk in Proverbs chapter 8. Kulam nochachim, they're all straight for those who use wisdom. Again, how do you know to find the balance? Your secha and rabbinic supervision. Have a Rebbe who's objective. He knows you, he's more objective than you are, right? And that way, you'll come out straight. Who is straight? Those who use mevin, and those who use da'at. Again, it's one of those psukim that I never would have thought of connecting it with this context, but after Rav Kook